Joe, it's been too long.
Yeah, that's the theme to Welcome Back, Cotter. Yeah. Let's just hope the internet gremlins let us do this here.
Oh, believe me, I've had some stuff. And from the sounds of it, I'm going to be working from home now until infinity, because there'll be periodic times in the office, but given the roles and responsibilities and everything like that, not as much. And I'm just like, we'll see.
Oh, so yeah, push the fees back to the employees.
Boom. Yes. I figured I couldn't get in trouble for saying it, but yeah.
Well, I can. So I'm currently a free agent. So yes.
Should apply for the Duke or Celtics job.
Yeah. What happened to Danny Ainge? I knew he had some he had said some things that were out of bounds. Is that why he got canned? Pun intended.
Well, here's some of the previously mentioned before A-game stuff that I had before I did not bring my A-game and got disconnected. But no, my one theory is this is a way to either bring in Archie Miller to Boston, or evidently now Duke. So Archie Miller will be the coach here shortly at one of those two places. My prediction, write it down. But no, another one that's kind of funny that I heard this yesterday was that regardless of what happened there with Ainge and then Stevens going into basically Ainge's role, how wonderful would it be for Purdue fans to have Brad Stevens somehow pull Mike Woodson away from IU to be the coach of Boston?
Well, yeah, I mean, nothing's especially with you can't compare pro coach to a college coach. It's much different.
Yeah, but no, in all seriousness, it's weird times, but one of the things that they were talking about with that is who's next, presumably, to retire. They were talking about Calipari, and they don't think Calipari is going to go out the way it's Kentucky's been this recently. They were talking about Boeheim, and obviously North Carolina coach is
Roy Williams.
Roy Williams, yeah. So is leaving, but with Coach K, he built a dynasty, and he was in my opinion, a Bobby Knight student.
And, definitely.
But for Danny Ainge, I don't know where Danny Ainge could fall. Maybe with the Pacers.
Oh wow, that'd be not well. Pacers are looking for a coach.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he wants to coach, but that would be a possibility.
Yeah.
So our show's brought to you by Gleaners Food Bank. $1 equals 5 meals for the hungry. It's pretty easy to do. All you have to do is go to gleaners.org/donate. Once again, $1 equals 5 meals for the hungry. If you feel so inclined, please do that. Thank you for everybody in the U.S. for listening. We've added three cities, Greenville, South Carolina, Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and there's a park for Beastie Boys hip-hop artist MCA. We've added Brooklyn, New York. So also, everyone around the world listening to us, we appreciate all of you. We've just added Vienna, Austria. Thank you so much for listening. And the time has come. Please donate to the podcast to get the content that you enjoy. Indy's Local Flavor at anchor.fm.com, and you can find that on Google. We touched briefly about Mike Krzyzewski. He's going to be retiring after this season. And that was Ian's Adam Schefter reported that Naomi Osaka from ESPN retires from the French Open due to anxiety issues. And some strange things going on in the NBA. The Hawks' Trae Young was spit on. The Wizards' Westbrook had popcorn dumped on him. And Kyrie Irving had bottled water thrown at him. And fans at the Sixers-Wizards game, a fan tried to run on the court and was tackled promptly by the security guard. And there was a loud thud on the old pine.
Yeah,
when that happened. But yeah, it was strange things going on in the NBA right now. So tonight's topic is worst sports fans moments of all time. My number 11 is in my hometown basketball folklore, and I'm not going to reveal the school's name, but this is the story I heard growing up in high school, that during this basketball game, and I want to say it was junior varsity, if I remember correctly, or I'm not sure if it was junior varsity or the varsity game, a fan became so upset with the officiating, they threw a padlock at the referee. Luckily missed, but that's my number 11.
I when I looked at these, some I looked at serious, some I looked at comical, and basically the more serious ones that would involve bodily injury or death are obviously the more serious ones. That's how I kind of rated these. The first one is more comedic because nobody got hurt except for the person that was the perpetrator here. But in the 1960s, in a town called Twickenham, England, and that's that name really kind of stuck out to me. But in Twickenham, England, a rugby match was going on, and a man by the name of Michael O'Neill is purported to be the first streaker at a professional sporting event ever. So, rugby streaking. And, okay. And if you change the name just a little bit of Twickenham, it makes it so much funnier.
Yeah, I don't have any comedic ones, so I'm glad you do. So that's good.
Yeah. No, that one. I was like, I gotta get that in there, but. On the list I was looking at, they had that 22nd. I was like, no, that's hilarious. You got to bump that up a little bit. So,
my number 10 is what we talked about earlier. Fan runs out on the court of the Knicks-Sixers game, and the video doesn't do that justice at all. So,
yeah. Let's see. My number 10, and this one happened a long, long time ago. I believe it was 1974. And it was back when there were actual, there have been protests for a long, long time, but in the 70s, right off the heel of the 60s, obviously, that would have been something. But I was alive then, but I was too little to see it or remember it. But yeah. In 1976, Rick Monday saves the American flag from fans that were trying to set it on fire. He literally grabbed it from them and ran away from them.
Yes.
So that could have gone horribly wrong in a lot of different ways, but that nobody got hurt. And right. that was my number 10.
I saw that on there, and that was a very patriotic thing to do.
Yeah.
At the time, because I don't know how the fans got on the field, or they got flagged. I don't know that story. So,
I've noticed in some of these, regardless of how severe or awful it got, fans will find a way.
Oh yeah,
it's just a matter of what volume and circumstances. So yeah.
My number 9, the fan man crashes the Holyfield fight. and he came in.
We're looking at exactly the same ones.
And this is from Bleacher Report.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he had like a hovercraft and crashed on the side of the ring, I think, and fell back in the stands.
But if I'm reading the same one, that wasn't the worst part of it. And that's why I put it at number 9, because the only person that really got hurt was that guy. Because after that happened, I think it was Holyfield's entourage beat the tar out of it.
Yes. Yes.
So I was like, that's funny.
Yeah, it is, really is.
It's like, you know, did your mother have any children that lived?
That's funny.
Let's see. Yeah, that is my number 9 as well.
Oh, okay. My number 8, 2003, the Cubs Steve Bartman incident.
I'd seen that on there, and I was like, ever since that's happened, I've had I don't want to say sympathy for him, but it's like he made a mistake. And no, it's not the curse of anybody or anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Cubs, yes, they finally got their World Series. Let it go. So, you know, I did see it on there. I don't know that. Well, it's not in my top 11. I might have put it in a top 15 to 20.
Well, he did get a ring when he got an honorary ring.
That's right. He did. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically what happened is he leaned. The Cubs outfielder was going up to catch the ball, and Bartman leaned out to catch the ball, and he caught the ball. And because he caught the ball, the opposing team went on to the World Series.
Yeah. I was there, and I saw it, and maybe that's one of the reasons why I just don't take sides. Plus, I'm not a Cubs hater or a Cubs lover. Or, you know, when it comes to Major League Baseball in this area, there's so many teams to choose from. I mean, there's technically 4 within, you know, a relatively one tank trip drive to where you can spend a weekend and go see any of 4 Major League Baseball teams from Indianapolis. And plus the Indianapolis Indians, I will say that, even though that the city of Indianapolis, who's, you know, basically named for and the name derives from City of Indians, does not like using that anymore. They will now call it the Indianapolis baseball team. So I just wanted to say the Indianapolis Indians are a great team to watch and great value.
Yes. I've never been to a game. I need to go.
Oh my gosh, you do. You can get behind home plate for roughly $30 a person. And, you know, if you don't want to do all that, there's the outfield, you know, the lawn. Mm-hmm. It is very reasonable, very family friendly, and yes, absolutely, I recommend it.
Okay.
That was number. Was that your number 8 or my? Oh, yes. That was your number 8.
Yes, the Steve Bartman. Yes.
Okay, my number 8, and I was torn, but instead of the other one, the most commonly known one, I went with the dog pound pelting John Elway.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. And another one that's on there was, you know, Santa Claus getting pelted, but no. And it's specifically because it's John Elway. I was like, you know what? If you come to the Colts, that probably wouldn't happen.
True indeed. Are you a Bee Gees fan?
I can listen to it every once in a while. I don't own any of their music, but I don't hate them.
Okay, because I found out something very interesting.
Oh yeah.
I was watching the Bee Gees documentary, and my 7 is from 1979. The Disco Sucks record burning riots. So I'm watching the documentary. And you were supposed to bring disco records. And they brought some disco records they're going to put them all in a box and blow them up from a local radio station. I want to say it was The Loop. one of the DJs from The Loop in Chicago, was going to blow them up. Guess what records went in the box?
They were Bee Gees.
And it was Stevie Wonder and Marvin Gaye and Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yeah.
So these guys blow up these records, and then everybody stands at Comiskey Park, jumps over the ledge, and starts a riot. And, you know, I guess they burned the park and threw some chairs, and yeah, fun times. So, no sarcasm, by the way. That was reality. So, yeah. The Disco Sucks Record Burning Riots of 79.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, man. My number seven, and I don't have a lot of detail on this, and I'm not finding the detail online, but it was a Flyers Mayhem hockey incident. I can't even get the year. Hold on. Let's see, Flyers Mayhem hockey. I also tried to break this down by sports. Okay, yeah. In this incident, this is kind of where I start going from funny haha to people are getting hurt.
Sure.
This incident was the there was a person in the penalty box, and a fan came over the plexiglass and started beating the heck out of him. Well, as he's doing that, the plexiglass falls in, and then the hockey player starts beating the heck out of the fan. So, that's where, you know, actual violent interaction starts happening. And so that's why I've got that at number seven.
Now, I have a hockey question because I couldn't find it. But I know what happened. Do you know, because I follow hockey, but not enough to be a watcher, but I'm starting to get into it more. Do you fan base, I want to say during the playoffs, through an octopus on the ice?
I want to say Boston.
Okay.
If it wasn't Boston, it was Canada, but they do that still. There's certain things that have to happen for them to do that, but it still happens. In other words, I don't know if they win the Stanley Cup, they throw the octopus on the ice or what, but yeah, that is a thing.
Okay.
And the detail on the number seven that I gave, I just found it. It was in 2001. The player dummy was serving a penalty in the penalty box when a Flyers fan threw beer and other items at him. And then it just went downhill from there. So that was 2001.
Right. My number six, San Francisco Giants fan is beaten badly in the LA Dodgers parking lot.
When I saw that, I almost went with, I was going to put that in there, or I was going to put the one where the Philadelphia Eagles cheered when Michael Irvin went down.
Right.
But that San Francisco Raiders incident, I really had it at number 11 and a half or 12.
Oh, but that, yeah. You're talking about the preseason.
Yeah.
Fight. Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. Is it my turn for number? Was that your number six?
Yes.
Okay. My number six also falls into hockey, and this was a St. Louis Blues game. And again, I don't have the detail on it right in front of me, but what it basically came down to was it was a fight between fans and not just players, but in this case, the St. Louis Blues coach didn't just get thrown from the game, he got arrested. So, yeah, there's your escalation right there. I want to say it was the 60s or 70s, but yeah, Philadelphia or St. Louis Blues at Philadelphia Flyers.
Philadelphia ain't no joke, man.
They take their sports very seriously.
A wee bit.
I told you the story about when they were tearing down the previous stadium, football stadium, right? About when it was the last home game for the Philadelphia Eagles.
And the Vet Stadium?
Vet Stadium, Vet, yeah.
Yeah, yep.
And obviously the fans knew it. So a lady evidently went into the ladies' room and wanted a memento of the occasion, and she pulled a toilet seat off the toilet and was wearing it around her neck, presumably taking it home.
Of course.
Because that makes sense.
Of course. That's funny. My number five, I actually saw this video and I was like, where's the security? The San Francisco 49ers versus the Oakland Raiders preseason game in the stands. There was a Niners fan, if I remember correctly, that eventually got pushed off the ledge during a fight. And this video's 8 minutes. And I'm like, where's the security?
Yep.
So, yeah.
Wow.
And then because of that happened, they never played it again, ever. Mm. During regular season or preseason, they never played again, ever.
Yeah. The my number five, you've actually already mentioned, it was the Disco Night baseball incident.
Yes.
Because people got hurt.
You know,
yeah, it was. And I think it was the it wasn't just the explosion, but it was probably a lot of beer leading up to that explosion. So, yeah.
My number four. Two quality White Sox fans attack Kansas City coach Tom Gambia, first baseline.
I saw that one too, yeah.
Yeah, that was you start beating the tar out of, basically jumped him.
Yeah.
So.
My number four, and this one I just could not, I could not get away from, because it's funny, but it's not. And I want to get the detail on it, but I'm trying to get to it here. Give me 1 second, because basically the title of it is 10-sit beer night baseball game.
Yeah, Cleveland Indians.
Yes, and it ended up being a riot. Go figure. and you know, we're talking about some of the things of why fans do what they do. There's that, okay.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that baseball's just so damn boring that.
that quote was brought to you by our buddy Rob. So all you baseball fans, all you Chicago Cubs fans, can write in any point at that at Rob.
Oh well, no, I gotta get this in because some of the detail on it is in desperate need of boosting attendance. This would have been in 1974.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Indians unleashed a promotion that seemed like a good idea at the time.
However,
okay, here we go. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, people got hurt. And that's not funny, but basically, I don't know how many 10-sit beer nights they have in baseball anymore because, again.
It doesn't pay for the gas to get there.
Well, and it, along the baseball, you know, just being kind of like watching paint dry. I saw something, and it's at a. It's at least at a 10-year low for the scoring, the hits, the runs, you know, the actual exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw that, and I wish I had more detail on it, but it's all come about because of, and I've mentioned it before, Moneyball, you know?
Right. Yes.
The whole thing was, you know, let's get people on base. Let's, you know, don't bunt the ball.
Right.
And if your other team bunts, you throw it to first, you don't get fancy with it. And so a lot of teams have adopted that, just like the book and the movie illustrate at the end, that the winners are doing that. And now I think, I mean, if you're a fan of a 0-1 game after 12 innings, a lot of teams play that way now.
I agree.
So get ready for more riots.
My number three, I want to say this is in the 1960s. The Eagles fans and Santa Claus, I guess it was a stand-in Santa Claus. The Eagles fans threw snowballs at Santa Claus, and it was possibility filled with. No, they threw snowballs at Santa Claus because somebody said there was rocks in them, but there's no rocks in a stadium. So, but the other fact about the Philadelphia stadium is it's one of the few stadiums here in America that has a jail.
Yeah.
So as Roscoe Pico train would say, you can cuff them and stuff them there at the stadium and take them down and so.
I won't give the name of the local high school, but when I was an undergraduate for a semester, that's all it took for a semester. I was an education major, and we would take tours of different high schools. And this was part of the reason I decided not to continue as an education major. But right. One of the high schools did have a detention area at it. And this was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Wow.
Number three, and I was on the fence on this one on exactly where to put it. I wanted to put it high because it ties in with Indiana. It ties in with one of those shock moments.
Right.
I think locally it came because it was our team.
Right.
And that was some call the malice in the palace. I call it the basket brawl. I think you were on our test for basically castrating the Pacers for the next, decade. I mean, it was not pretty. It was not something to be proud of. And to go back to one of the other things we were saying about what's wrong with basketball right now, some of the things I've heard in this past week is, The Brooklyn Nets, right? They're doing really well in the championship run, right?
Yes.
It's almost a foregone conclusion. I didn't know that until the last week or so because I didn't get to you-know-what about it.
Right.
Well, in a sense, basketball is lagging both other sports, baseball and football, in that the salary cap is basically flawed.
Right.
Like the Yankees could do 20 years ago.
Right.
You basically bite the bullet, pay your luxury tax, and then you get a championship.
Right.
Well, correct. The Nets luxury tax that they're paying this year, I was stunned. It's $232 million.
Right.
That's on top of the cap, which is about $135 million.
Right.
So unless you're willing to put down a third of $1 billion for a championship, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
And fans know it, that it's rigged. And so things like the malice in the palace, the masked Avenger that decided to run onto the court that other day and get tackled.
Right. You know, the masked Avenger. That's a Daffy Duck cartoon.
Yeah. You know, he is Batman. He's going to right the wrong for all society. And, but so that is the last social commentary I'm going to offer on that. But that's just kind of what I get. You know, people are coming out of a pandemic. They're not used to wearing pants and being civil and all that. And so, but no, what happened then was these things have been happening for a very, very long time. Some of the research I did was there were riots back in AD 500.
Yes, correct. I saw that too.
Yep. Over chariot races.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so these things do happen, but, you know, it's shock value. It's, I think I've heard the term panic porn. You know, it's like you look at this and you're like, oh, how awful is that? Well, this gave me the chance to look at it and say, some of it is, it requires context over time, and some of it is downright pathetic.
Okay, so here's my, I have a couple comments on that. And everybody was affected by this, I think, if you're a Pacers fan. So the story, now this is a story. This isn't factual. I don't know where you can fact check this. This is a story. So who was the people that we traded for our test? It was Brad. Brad Miller. We traded Brad Miller and someone else for Ron Artest, and we got somebody else from the Bulls. So the story was, when Ron Artest was in Chicago, he played a pickup game with Michael Jordan, and he got ticked off. It was outside on a basketball court. He got ticked off at Michael, and supposedly he picked Michael up over his head and body slammed the court. So. Johnny and Larry knew about that and got Artest anyway. So I'm not giving Artest an out. But what I'm saying is, if that story was true, Larry and Donnie knew about it. They just wanted to booster the defense because of Artest was a fantastic defensive player. He was possibly the next Dennis Rodman. But anyway, where were you when that basketball game? Because for me, I know where I was when I heard the news. Where were you when you heard the news about the mouths at the house, or what I call the throwdown in Motown?
Yeah, I actually missed that, because at the time, if I remember right, I was going to school at nights for a master's degree, and That's wrong. I remember that time because there were a bunch of Detroit fans in that class, and we would go back and forth about that incident. No, basically, I saw it on the news the next day. So, right, yeah, right. That was my thing. And I was like, holy Lord. I mean, you know, it was like, it's the way I felt when I was watching Bobby Knight throw a chair across the court at an opposing player and referee during the game.
Right.
It was that. I was like, and you know, in that incident, I was a little kid, and I was like, the whole world's watching this, you know?
Right.
So
I'm going to replay it. And when I see it, I hate it, but I'm going to replay it for those of you who did see it. Now, preface this first. This happened in 2004. And the Pistons went on to win the championship. They swept the Lakers in four.
Yep.
In 2004. So what happened is Ben Wallace, the Pistons, Ben Wallace and Ron Artest got into a shoving match. And they interviewed Al Harrington later. And Al Harrington was playing, I believe, with the Hawks. And he said, well, if I was still been on that team, it was so late in the game and the Pacers were up by so much, Artest wouldn't have been on the court.
Yeah.
So Artest and Wallace get in a shoving match, and Artest goes off the court. Instead of going to the bench, he lays on the scoring table.
Yeah.
And the super knucklehead fan, the Detroit Pistons, throws a full beer at him. At Artest, hits him square in the chest. Artest just snaps.
Yeah.
And he's jumping over the scorer's table, and Rick Mahorn, the all-star from the Pistons, is trying to hold Artest back by one hand, the announcer from the Detroit Pistons. He goes into the crowd, and he almost pummels this 20-year-old kid. And then he's running after this guy in the stands, and Steven Jackson jumps in the crowd and starts knocking people out. And Artest gets a hold of this guy and just pounding at them. And then one of the Detroit Pistons fans jumps on the floor, and Jermaine O'Neal in one punch, bam, down goes this fan. So where I was at that time, it was a Saturday. It was a Friday, Sunday. And my brother calls me and he said, did you see the game last night? And he's like, no, he says, turn on ESPN. And I was in shock.
Yeah.
I was in total shock. I was like, the pace.
Yeah.
So
that's exactly it. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, the one of the stats I've heard in the last, well, since Memorial Day was, there was a list of 9 football teams, professional football teams, that had not won a division championship, division title,
yeah,
in the past. And since 2014, the Colts are one of them. Well, the Colts are, or the Pacers are there too.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah.
So, and then as the Pacers are, the Pistons fans threw a bunch of stuff at them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was unbelievable. So, I don't know. It affected the Pacers for a decade after that.
Yeah.
So, and Jamal Tinsley got into a fight over that too, somehow. So anyway. So, what's your number? You want me to go ahead with my number one?
We got to do number two, right?
Is that your number two? That's my number two, yes. Go ahead.
Okay. My number two is the Monica Seles stabbing.
That's my number one.
Yeah. Fan came out of the stand, stabbed her right between the shoulder blades, and from what I read, basically ended her career right there.
Yes, she didn't play after that. So.
And that's your number one. My number one is 1964 Estudio Nacional, National Disaster. 328 people died. Peruvian police fired tear gas into the stands to stop a riot. The fans panicked and they trampled each other.
Oh, I didn't even know that one. Wow.
Yeah, and that's these little incidents, comparatively speaking. Some of it is funny, haha, but that's.
Yeah,
in a stadium of tens of thousands of people, it can go there, you know, if everything goes wrong. So that's really why I said that is number one, because that was back then. But it soccer riots still happen today. It's kind of par for the course.
Yeah, those are tragic.
Yeah. Yep.
So let's end on a good note. A buddy was telling me when he saw the Bucks and Pacers that Giannis of the Milwaukee Bucks gave a fan his shoes after the game. And that used to happen a lot more often when I was a kid in the NBA. So
Yeah.
So
we need a lot more of that now. And actually we're getting less and less of it. If it does happen, it's not reported near as much, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I agree.
So you got any closing?
I turned 49 Sunday.
Hey,
I'm not enthused about it because we know what happens next year. I think that happened to you, Joe, recently.
Yes, last year I had pneumonia, coughing on the couch, shot for my 50th. Fun times.
Yeah, that's what I thought I remembered. But a work associate of mine, his son will be attending Notre Dame.
Nice.
In the fall, presumably as a starting offensive guard for Notre Dame football. His son just graduated, and his dad is very proud, and they're having what I normally call a birthday season, but they're having a graduation season. So that's going on, and there are a lot of good things happening in the world. And the last thing, and I'll close with this, was the funeral I went to yesterday was for my mom's aunt. Mm-hmm. She lived to be 93 years old. And she was the proud great-great-grandmother of 9 great-great-grandchildren. So she lived a full life. And, you know, if I ever get within 10% of that, I know that it's been full. So
definitely. And you know what? When you're at the age where we are, things get, to me, things get simpler.
Yeah.
Things get simpler and you learn to enjoy the moment more.
Yes.
So, you know, and that's what it's all about. But for your 50th, you need to go somewhere and do something. So
I am, but right now I'm just enthused that I can go, you know, a few miles south to a bordering county and walk through Walmart without a mask. That's pretty cool. I feel rebellious.
Yeah, I call myself Han Solo. I actually drive to other counties and don't have to wear the mask.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing. I was like, you know, frolicking through the aisles. I was in there for like 3 hours, not because I needed to shop that much, because I was just like, you know, and then, you know, kind of pre COVID, you know, you we'll get to the place where we're licking handrails again and, you know, breathing on produce.
Chewing gum off the cement.
Chewing gum off the cement. Yeah. That's a good one. I remember that one.
Okay, this episode's been brought to you by the letter W, Joshua 1, Psalm 91, and 1 Peter 5:7. For Rob, I'm Joe Carney for Indy's Local Flavor, and we'll see you soon.